Well, good morning, everyone. Today is May 10th, 2020. We've not been able to meet here as a congregation since the middle part of March, so I guess we're looking at 2 months now. We do have some information that has come. Apparently, the state of Michigan is not going to fine or press charges against churches or church leaders or people traveling back and forth to church for services. Because some discussions on that, and there was some lawsuits, and Whitmer kind of rescinded her order. So what does that mean for us? Well, we're trying to figure that out. I want to be careful. I know that we have a predominantly older congregation. I'm thinking probably we'll have men's Bible study next Saturday, which is 6 days from now. And after that, if everything looks okay, maybe consider reopening prayer meeting and the men's Bible study. And then the end of the month, which is the 28th, is when this recent lockdown extension is supposed to be over. So I'm hoping that we can reopen the 31st and everything would be kosher. So we'll have to see about that. I'd like to do that. I think that we probably will do that, but I'll have to get back with more information on that. I'm being cautious because we are older. We do want to be in compliance. At the same time, a lot of us would think that Whitmer has maybe gone overboard as far as some of the things that she's done. So we're gonna play it by ear, and I will keep in touch with you. And if you have any questions, I think everybody knows how to get a hold of me at my cell phone number, 810-434-1126. Today is Mother's Day, and usually we have flowers and we have, you know, all the mothers are here, and you know, we try to have some kind of a message related to Mother's Day. None of you are here today, but we'll have a Mother's Day message nonetheless. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to be here. We just ask that you would guide us as we look at your word together and think about the whole situation of motherhood, which you created. It was your will that this be done. And Lord, help us to honor our mothers and to remember their fine points and to show them the respect and the love that they deserve. We ask, Father, that you would guide us as a church as we attempt to figure out when we're going to open up completely and how we're going to do that. And Lord, we just ask for wisdom and direction, and obviously we're kind of tired of being locked down. We'd like to see this be over. We do pray for our country as it tries to get back on track. A lot of people's lives have been changed in terms of the economics, and we pray, Father, that some of that can be restored and people can have their needs met, and that this would cause a revival in the land, that people would look at their lives and realize their need for a Savior and would turn in saving faith to Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, has this to say about Mother's Day. Says that it is a celebration honoring the mother of the family, as well as motherhood, as well as maternal bonds and the influence of mothers in society. Began early in the 20th century in America. It was first celebrated in 1908. Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. In 1908, Congress rejected a proposal to make Mother's Day an official holiday, joking that they would also have to proclaim a Mothers-in-Law Day. In 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day, held on the second Sunday in May, as a national holiday to honor mothers. So that's what Wikipedia tells us about Mother's Day. We would like today to honor the mothers that we have in our congregation this morning. Ladies, for those of you who are mothers here today, and for those of you that are mothers in our church, we salute you. We thank you, we commend you for all your hard work and sacrifice. It is not easy being a mother. Not that I would know anything about that, but at least that's what I've been told. It requires much pain, hard work, and sacrificial love. As we all know, the traditional family is under attack in this day and age. I was on one occasion informed at my counseling job that I would not be assigned a certain counseling situation. And this counseling situation involved evaluating whether or not he would be given visitation rights to his child. This individual had apparently made a change in his life, and he was transitioning apparently from being a man to a woman. He apparently had some procedures, and I don't know if he had operations or not, but there were some things that he had done that went along with such a transformation. His wife had divorced him as a result of that, and his 16-year-old son was reluctant to go out with a father who was wearing a dress in public. But the father was wanting to have visitation and was demanding that he be given those visitation, and everybody was going to have to accept him as he was. The child, as I said, was reluctant to see him in his state as a man with, I guess, apparently wearing a dress the day that he came in for counseling. As one person told me in the office, they said, "We decided not to give this case to you, Gary." And as I told them, that was probably a good decision. I'm not exactly sure what I would say to such a person. If I said what I really wanted to say, there might be some flack as a result of that. We see all kinds of situations being promoted in this culture which dishonor the role of mothers, fathers, traditional families, and children. In the process of dishonoring God's creation of the male and female and the roles, man and women, as well as the unique and special role in the family that each one has, they have also, in that process, dishonored God. They have mocked his creation, they have spurned his laws, and they have blasphemed his holy name with their rebellion and the mutilation and distortion of his created order. Here at Grace Bible Church, we honor God's word. We rejoice in his creation. We accept the Genesis account of creation as factual and literal. When the Bible says that Adam was created out of the dust of the ground and Eve was created from a rib, Genesis chapter 2, this rib being taken from Adam's side, we believe that. When we read in Matthew chapter 19 that God made them male and female, we accept that as truth and as reality. God made men to be with women and vice versa. Anything that deviates from that in God's view is sin. And we have a lot of sin going on in our country these days, as you well know. So having said all that, I would like to devote the rest of our time to honoring mothers. The way I want to do that is to look at a very special mother. This particular woman, this mother, is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, and her name is Mary. She was a very unique and a very special woman, and so we examined her life briefly this morning to learn some very specific lessons from her. Today we'll be looking at 5 lessons from a godly mother. So the first lesson we would call the lesson of submission, the lesson of submission. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Now in the sixth month, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. As you can probably imagine, and you've probably heard, as I said, Mary is probably the world's most famous mother. Much has been written about Mary. Some have called her the Blessed Virgin, and they believe and they state that she was what's called a perpetual virgin, having never had sexual union with a man. However, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, we are told that Jesus kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And so much for perpetual virginity. Others have called her the Mother of God, exalting her to a position of prominence so that she is perceived as being able to approach her son Jesus and ask him for favors that others are trying to obtain from Jesus, using her as a go-between. She has been proclaimed by some to be free from original sin. She has been proclaimed to be a co-redemptrix, a co-mediator, the queen of the apostles, the queen of heaven, the queen of the angels, the door of paradise, the gate of heaven, our life, mother of grace, mother of mercy. She has been made an object of adoration, an object of worship and honor by Roman Catholicism, when in fact she is only a simple young peasant girl who God sovereignly chose to call and use to be the human mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was and is no way divine. People are not expected to offer prayers to her, and she has no ability or power to do anything for anyone. Praying to her is a waste of time. She can neither hear nor help anyone. She was just a young woman God chose to use for a special purpose. She was given a difficult task. She would bear God's son without ever having been intimate with a man in a day and age when stoning was the prescribed punishment for pregnancy outside of wedlock. We find this in Deuteronomy 22. This was not an easy situation for her. In fact, it was potentially scandalous and dangerous. It would cause her reputation to be brought into question. In John chapter 8, Jesus would be accused of being born of fornication, a direct assault on Mary's morality. It should be pointed out that Mary did not refuse her assignment. She did not whine about it. She did not complain about it. She did not challenge it. She did not seek an abortion. She did not try to find a way out. She calmly and courageously accepted what God had ordained for her and her life and submitted to his will. She is an example to us, as of all of the other mothers of the world who devote themselves to being the women that God has made them to be, performing the role he has ordained for them, particularly in the area of bearing and raising children. Mary did what God called her to do, just as do many other mothers throughout the world and throughout history have done and are continuing to do. May God bless each and every one of them, and also you, as we learn the lesson together of submitting to God's will as we observe their lives. So the first lesson is simply submission to God's will. Mary submitted to God's will and was willing to do what he had called her to do. The second lesson is a lesson of praise. Mary praised God despite her difficult circumstances and all the trouble she knew it would bring. Let me read to you, again, we're still in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given the help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. As we mentioned, Mary would bring the Messiah into the world under very difficult circumstances. She was probably quite young. Some think as young as age 13 to 14. She was pregnant. She was out of wedlock, even though we would consider her engaged. And this was a major issue in that society, even if such a thing seems to be no longer a problem in our own society. As mentioned, rumors and gossip would be bandied about concerning people's perception of Jesus' conception and birth. She probably had no full understanding of what would be involved in all that God was asking her to do, but she, as we said, she started out her task by submitting to God's will and praising him for what he was and what he had done. Again, verses 46 to 55 has been called by many to be Mary's Magnificat. It was a praise. It was a praise that was saturated with references to God's word. She calls God her Savior in verse 47, indicating that she knew of her own need for a Savior as well as her own sin. She did not consider herself immaculate, meaning conceived without original sin. Rather, she relied on God's grace, as we all do, for her salvation, praising God for his salvation and the opportunity to serve him. Mothers in our own day and age would benefit from this lesson of praise, as well as the rest of us who are not mothers. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The issue there in that particular passage from 1 Peter is the issue of service. And so we are called to serve God in whatever capacity he has given us, in whatever gifts he has given us. So we ask that God would help us to be inspired not only to submit to his will in our lives, but also to praise him for everything that he has done in our lives and to be willing to praise him. Third lesson, and I've already made reference to this, the third lesson is the lesson of service. The lesson of service. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, if you turn there with me, and we'll start in verse 25 and go all the way to verse 35. Mary teaches us about serving God in difficult and tough places. Verse 35 said, "And a sword will pierce even your own soul." Let me read to you starting in verse 25. "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Mary teaches us about serving God in difficult and tough places, as we said. And again, I remind you of what verse 35 said, a sword would pierce her own soul. Mary would experience intense personal grief as she watched her son Jesus die in agony on the cross for the sins of those who would believe in him. She would have many opportunities to serve God in tough places. In Luke chapter 2, we see that Jesus was missing at one point. And they were trying to figure out where Jesus was, and they were traveling from Jerusalem back to their home, and so they could not find him with the group of people that they were traveling with. So they went back to Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple with the Jewish elders. And the mother and the father, Mary and Joseph, they corrected him and said, Well, why did you do this to us? You scared us half to death. And he answered them and said, I had to be about my father's business. And Christ had to remind him at that point who he was. John chapter 2, prior to changing water into wine, Jesus' mother approached him and said, Hey, they have no wine. And Jesus responded by saying, Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. Again, you see a situation where Christ gently and firmly put Mary back in her place. Mark chapter 3, her brothers and sisters were sent to him, and they called him. The crowd told him that his mother and his brothers were outside looking for him. And he said, Behold, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. So you see yet another situation where Jesus gently and firmly put his mother, as well as other family members, in their place. Serving God, being obedient to God, can be very difficult, especially when there is pain associated with it. Mary certainly had her share of such, as do many other women who have been called to be mothers. May we be motivated by the examples of these women as we seek to serve God, no matter where he has placed us. You know, obviously there's other mothers. Jochebed was Moses' mother. She went through quite a difficult time, as did Hannah, who was Samuel's mother. So whoever these mothers are, and we, whatever mothers we may know in our own personal lives, may we be motivated by their examples, no matter, as we try to serve God, no matter where he has placed us. So we have submission, we have praise, we have service, and now we have humility, number four. Mary teaches us lessons about humbling ourselves before God. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, so just go to verse 41 of Luke chapter 2, and we've talked about this already. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So Mary and Joseph, along with Joseph, were in a way humbled. They were kind of put in their place by Jesus. Yes, they were his human parents, but they had to keep in mind who he really was. While he voluntarily subjected himself to their authority, a day would come when he would replace their authority with that of his heavenly Father and would be focused on the task that he had come to perform. In John chapter 2, when his mother talked to him about the wine, he respectfully put her in her place, essentially telling her that she had to not only recognize him as the son she bore and raised, but also as the promised Messiah and the Lamb of God. I'm going to have you turn again to the book of another book, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Acts chapter 1. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. Mary was not in a place, as you look at Acts chapter 1, where she was being worshipped or adored. They weren't worshipping Mary. They weren't worshipping or adoring her. Rather, she was the worshiper along with everyone else who was there, and they were continually praising Jesus and calling out in prayer to him. Mary recognized her own sinfulness, her own unworthiness. She knew that she was just flesh and blood. She knew that she was only a girl, a sinner, needing God's grace and salvation, just like everyone else. She was a humble woman, one who served God well by bearing and raising his son. Humility is necessary to enter the kingdom. It is also necessary to effectively serve in the kingdom. Motherhood is humbling. If we think about childbirth, taking care of the children, feeding them, wiping them, changing them, bathing them, correcting them, we can certainly recognize that. Mary was a humble woman, as are so many others who serve God by bringing children into the world and raising them. One writer put it this way. He said, motherhood is not for the weak. Motherhood is tough. Work, it requires all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This year I've been given the gift of seeing motherhood from a different angle as my wife and I had our first child in September. In the hardships of raising a child, I have seen a new side of motherhood. It not only requires a lot of toughness, but it also requires lots and lots of humility. Think about it. Do you know how many people who would take time away from a successful career, one for which they have studied hard and paid lots of money to obtain, in order to wipe human poop with a thin baby wipe? Do you know anyone who would get all dressed up in their favorite outfit for a nice night out, all to have it washed with someone else's puke minutes before departure? Being a mother requires lots and lots of humility. Humility is others-centered, not self-centered. Humility is driven by seeking the best for others. Humility is demonstrating by putting others' needs before your own. Humility is stepping out of your highly fulfilling position to serve those who would be lost without you. Humility is what Christ did, and humility is who mothers are. And this comes, as I said, a gentleman, Pastor Daniel Chapin, Cedar Grove Community Church in Livermore, California. May God teach us the lesson of humility as we look at the lives of Mary and the other mothers we know. And finally, we come to number 5, our last lesson. And here I'd like you to turn to the book of John, John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Reading, starting in verse 25. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Mary teaches us about faithfulness to God until the end. Mary was loyal. She was a faithful mom up until the end, no matter how much it hurt. It must have been agony to sit and to watch your son die and all that he went through in regards to his crucifixion. It must have been gut-wrenching to watch his ministry from when he was popular, his name being on everyone's lip, when they called out for him to be king, to go to the point where they were screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." There was agony in her heart as he writhed with pain upon the wood of the cross. She heard him make arrangements for her care with his disciple John. Soon she would be among many others who would see Christ in his post-resurrection appearances and at his ascension. She was always there, always involved, always faithful, even to the end. We have all known faithful mothers who are faithful to their children and to their families. Such faithfulness is also faithfulness to God. As Mary was faithful to God, as so many mothers are faithful to God, let us be inspired and motivated, even if we're not mothers, to go and do likewise. One writer, in talking about mothers, said this: "If I were hanged on the highest hill, Mother O mine, O Mother O mine, I know whose love would follow me still, Mother O mine, O Mother O mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, Mother O mine, O Mother O mine, I know whose tear would come down to me, Mother O Mayan, O Mother O Mayan. If I were damned of body and soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole, Mother O Mayan, O Mother O Mayan." So we have lessons that we can learn from our mothers this Mother's Day: submission, praise, service, humility, and faithfulness. Ladies, I wish you a happy Mother's Day. We hope that we can be together soon. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to look at your words together and to think about motherhood, and that you made us male and female, and you ordained us to go and to create life and to bring children into the world. And Lord, we just thank you for the role that you have given mothers. We thank you that you love them, that you love us. We ask, Father, that you would bless each and every mother that is involved with this church and also in other churches as well. And we pray, Father, that you would just help us all be able to come back in a way that's reasonable and in a way that's safe, so we could worship you together. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.